God of heaven and earth, that thou art the sovereign ruler, that thou art the king. Lord, I want to thank thee for that precious hope that I have in my heart. Sometimes my hope is little, I almost lay it by, but sometimes it seems sufficient if I were called to die. Yeah. Lord, even though sometimes it's little, sometimes I'm almost ready to give up, yet Lord, I wouldn't change it for anything in the world, and I want to thank you for that precious hope that I feel my sins have been forgiven for Jesus' sake. And indeed, though I've come to the end of myself, I can look to thee and know that thou art my hope both here and hereafter. Lord, I want to thank you for the gospel. Oh my, what a delightful message it is. If it wasn't for those few moments when I can get away from the troubles and cares of this life and go to the house of God and hear the sweet old gospel songs that lift my spirit up above my troubles, indeed life would be empty. Lord, I want to thank you that when the preacher gets in the stand and begins to preach, that many times he describes my experience and he lifts up the wonderful name of Jesus that enables me to praise thy great and glorious name. Thank you for it, Lord. Oh, you know, there are times when in spiritual darkness we may begin to wonder about the whole thing and begin to question whether maybe we've been deceived in the matter. And we say, things are just not like they were some years ago. I don't have the same joy, the same zeal, the same enthusiasm. Things are not like I'd like for them to be. And we're cast down in soul. But when we begin to thank God for what we have, we decide there's an awful lot to be thankful for. Yeah. Haven't you come sometimes and been so near to despair, ready to give it all up? But you've heard the words of such a song, cast down but not destroyed. And you say, oh, surely, Lord, that describes me. Though I'm cast down, though I'm walking in the dark places, yet not destroyed. The candle still burns, the little ray of light still glimmers, and gives me the determination and the hope to carry on. And so you thank God for it. You thank God then for the hope that you have, and for the gospel, and for the church. Oh, yes, what a blessing it is, what it's meant to us in our lives. Even if you're in a time of spiritual coldness, when it seems like it doesn't mean that much to you right now, think about what it has meant to you. Think about what it meant that day you asked for a home in the church. Wasn't that a wonderful day? Oh, yes, what a season it was when you came and asked God's people to have you, and you wondered if they'd receive such a sinner as you felt to be, but they embraced you in arms of love. Think about the joy you felt the day you were baptized, and it seemed like the very angels of heaven joined in chorus to sing as you followed the Lord into that liquid grave. Thank you, Lord, for that day. If I never have another bright day in this life, I've got that one I can still remember. Lord, thank you for it. Thank you for all the ways that you've led me. Oh, I can think of those dark valleys through which I've passed. Lord, back there, I thought I was all but gone, but somehow you took me by the hand and you led me out. Thank you, Lord, for standing with me in that fiery trial when I thought I'd be consumed. But I felt you were by my side, and I came out, and it's all right. I thank you, Lord, in that time when my loved ones were claimed by death, and my heart was broken, and I thought I couldn't bear to live. But somehow, you took me by the hand, underneath with the everlasting arms. You held me up, and you gave me strength that was beyond my fondest imagination. Oh, Lord, thank you that you didn't leave me alone. You promised you'd be the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And, Lord, you've been that friend. You've never forsaken me. I may have forsaken you, but thank you, Lord, that you've never forsaken me. Thank you for it, and thank you, Lord, for the daily benefits of life. Thank you. Thank you for my husband, my wife, my children, my next door neighbor, my friends. And you know, even if there's somebody you've had a little fuss with, you start thanking God for them and see how different you feel about it. Oh, Lord, even though there might have been some little misunderstandings, I thank you for this friend, and I thank you for this brother at the church, and I thank you for my pastor, and I thank you for those gospel ministers that thou to send from time to time to bring the good news that comes out of Zion. And Lord, I want to thank you for bread to eat. Why, such an unworthy sinner as I am, I don't even deserve daily benefits set before me, but I not only have enough to keep me alive, I have more than I ever need. Thank you for that, Lord. I have a place to lay my head down at night and rest. I have a warm place, a shelter from the storms of life. Thank you for that, Lord. How good thou hast been. Give him thanks for every benefit. And you know, by the time you go through that like you ought, by the time you're there, you'll have forgotten all those things that are on your request list. Why, you're already beginning to rejoice. You'll say, my, how good the Lord is. How wonderful are his benefits. I'd all but forgotten how gracious, how kind, how merciful, how many times he spared me, how many times he's picked me up when I was cast down, how many times his blessings have been far beyond my fondest dreams. Yes, he says, make your request known with thanksgiving. So as you begin to thank God, Then, if you can think what they are, you make your request known. And sometimes the request that we make may be a little selfish. And we say, Lord, help me to quit hurting. I want to feel better. I don't want this pain anymore. I don't want these aches and these troubles and these hardships and these trials and these disappointments. And the Lord gives us the answer, but it wasn't what we expected. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. I won't make it quit hurting, but I'll give you enough grace to endure it. I won't make the trouble go away, but I'll give you the peace inside that you'll be able to bear it anyhow. Sometimes that peace that He speaks within us is more than we could ever imagine. And we begin to realize what this text meant when it says, He shall speak peace to the heathen, and His name shall be called the Prince of Peace. I'm sure that most of you here tonight can recall some time in your life when on the outside everything was in turmoil. And you'd pray, Lord, work out my troubles and lift my burdens and heal my broken heart and make things better. And when you finished praying, there wasn't anything changed on the outside. But there's a lot changed on the inside. Because you had the peace this text talks about, the peace which passeth understanding. I remember when my wife and I lost a little girl, and when she held that little baby in her arms, and the tears streamed down her face, and she says, you're going to think what I'm going to tell you now is probably the strangest thing you've ever heard. And she says, I've got the sweetest peace in my heart right now I've ever felt in my whole life. Let me tell you, when He gives you the peace that passeth understanding, there doesn't have to be anything right. It can be all wrong on the outside. But the peace, He speaks within. Remember that little servant boy of Elisha? He didn't have any peace. He looked out and all he could see was the chariots of the Syrians everywhere. He ran in and said, alas, my master, what shall we do? He thought they were in bad shape. No hope for them. The Syrians had come to get them. Old Elisha says, it's all right. They that are with us are more than they that be with them. The young fellow must have thought the poor old prophet was out of his mind. Wasn't any way that could be so. He knew how to count. There's only two of him, just him and the preacher. Any way he counted, still came up with two. But everywhere he looked, there were Syrians all over the place. What did the old preacher do? He said, Lord, open his eyes so he can see. Now he looked back out there, and the Syrians were still there, but he didn't even see them now. You know why? He saw chariots of fire. He saw angels from heaven. And he felt 100% better. He felt just like the prophet did. He said, everything's all right. It's under control. Feel fine. Why? Hadn't been a thing changed except he got his eyes open. My friends, when we get our eyes open and see the mercies of God and the ministers that He sends, the angels from heaven to bear up our feet lest they be dashed against the stone, we have peace. He speaks peace to the heathen. There is a peace that He speaks and gives by His sovereign grace. There's a peace that you can find as you seek peace and pursue it. Oh, may we be found seeking it. And I want to say in conclusion that there's a peace that is promised also to the little child of God who will take up his cross and follow the Lord in baptism. There's a peace that you get in the discharge of your duty and following the Lord in that matter that you can't get anywhere else. You say, I can get just as much out of church of being there, I don't have to join. My friends, that just isn't so. God's word indicates that there's a peace you can get by doing what He bids you to do. I can remember times telling people when they told me, why don't you come home to your friends and tell the old Baptist what great things the Lord's done for you? And I say, thank you just the same. I'm fine. I'm satisfied where I am. And I kept saying, no, there's a peace you'll get in gospel baptism you can't get anywhere else. I can testify to something. I found something when I came to the church I'd never had before in my life. And I wouldn't trade anything in the world for it. There's a peace which passeth understanding that God has promised to give. God bless you.
I feel like at this time it would be proper to close the service. We've been certainly entertained by Elder Bradley, preached the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And I believe it with all my heart. I'm like Brother Donnie, I can't preach it like he does, but I can believe it just as strong as he preaches it. I'll ask you to pray for me for just a minute. I told Brother Donnie I was going to excuse myself. He kept insisting. me not to, and I'll just take just a few minutes, and I ask you to pray for me. Want to talk about a salvation that Brother Elder Bradley mentioned, and I certainly believe there's more than one salvation taught in the Bible, and I want to talk about a timely salvation for just a few minutes. We find over in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, these words in the 14th verse. Wherefore he said, awake thy that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He didn't say he'd give him life. If he can wake up and arise, he's already got life. And this talking direct to a child of God. Now a person that's dead, naturally speaking, we know they can't wake up. A person that's dead in trespasses and sin, when it comes to knowing anything about spiritual things, they're just as dead as the man's dead to natural life here in this life. So awake ye that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and I'll give thee light. Now over in Solomon's, I believe it is, in the third chapter, I find these words where the man said he lay on his bed by night, seeking whom his soul loveth. He sought him, but he found him not. In that same chapter, the Bible tells me that this man went into a city, and a watchman found him, and whom his soul loved him. And I believe a child of God tonight, there's been in many of God's people in the world today that's been under a conviction in this life that the gospel bell, when it's rung, ends on. My friend, it's like magnet, it's like lodestone, it'll draw you. And so tonight, my friend, if you believe that you've been made alive in Christ Jesus our Lord, then it's your duty to put on the helmet of salvation and the road of righteousness and follow the Lord here in this life. You know, 35 years ago, this past July, I was baptized, and I've tried ever since then, and I'm not bragging or pinning any bouquets on me. You know, when I was in the army, I'd been in there 6 months, and they come and give me a good conduct medal. Yeah, I was proud of that, brother. I'd look down on it, on my coat. I even worked home the day that I came out of service. I wanted my wife and my little boy to see it. And so I tell you tonight, a child of God, I want to wear a uniform of service in this life, and I want to wear a good conduct medal when I come to die and fold my arms in death. I want to wear that conduct medal. If somebody could say, well, that man, he lived what he preached. Listen, my friend, it says, for us to put on the whole arm of God, and we should do that. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I thought of this while ago as Elder Bradley was preaching, when talking about the Bible speaks about the wells. I want you to know tonight that I believe the well has been dug, but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ dug. And he tells us to come and draw water out of the wells, more than one if you please, out of the wells of salvation. So in doing that, we're going to find that peace and joy and happiness here in this life. And we travel down a life's journey. So it says, put on the whole arm of God that you may be able to stand against the power of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual weakness in high place. Wherefore take unto you the whole arm of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days. And I've done
among all things well. No wonder we find in the Word of God where it says, put on thy beautiful garment, O house of Israel. My friends and I, as Elder Bradley was saying about thanking God, I want you to know you are the most blessed people in this world. You've got something to thank your Lord about. Because you've got a city on the mountain yonder above the hills, and our light cannot go out. Here's a river, child of God. It runs on top of the mountain. The only river that's ever run on top of a mountain. And that's the river, the stream whereof makes glad the city of God. And that's the river of Zion here. I want to get out in this river and drink the joy of our salvation here in this life as we travel down a life's journey. And the only way we can do that is to do what the Lord said do. And the only ones that can do anything to please God is them that's been born of God. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse and try me, it said, and see what I pour out a blessing upon you, my friends, tonight. That blessing will be so great that you'll feel that you won't be able to receive him. But a friend, when we follow the Lord God here in this life as children of God, you know the Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. One writer said, but for me and my house, we'll serve the true and living God. As I look in this church tonight, I see grandfathers and grandmothers and sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters. You know, Peter said on one occasion, I promise unto you and unto your children, them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord thy God shall call. How many is he going to call? Do you mean that all he'll call will ever get in the true church of the living God? No, it's just a few of them. I fear not, little flock, it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. No wonder the Primitive Baptist is the smallest number of any denomination in the world. Well, is it God's will that they're that small? No, it's not my will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. It's not the will of God that any of his children that knows the truth should perish from it. But there's a lot of them that are doing it. There's a lot of them in this house tonight that knows that joyful sound. But yet they are hanging around the vineyard. Why are ye around the vineyard, the Bible says? If God's people would just wake up and arise and come into God's house, give him all the honor and all the glory, this would be a wonderful world to live in. There's one time the Gentiles, you people here tonight, there's a wall. But the Lord just tore that wall down and just drafted us in, brother. You are a blessed people. And we should give God all the honor and all the glory. And if we don't do it, then we're going to suffer and lose the joy of our salvation here in this life. We'll never lose that home in heaven. That's just as sure as God himself. You know, Paul says in the 10th chapter of Romans, my heart and desire and prayer to God is that Israel is, that they might be saved. He's not talking about eternal saving. Man told me the other day he was, but he's not. The next verse will prove he's not. For I bear them record that they have the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. In that same book of Romans, it tells me that all Israel shall be saved. That's with an everlasting salvation. I'm not worried about that. What worries me that God's people is turning their back on him here in this life and denying the buried God that will take them home one day to heaven. I thank you for Christ's sake.
certainly enjoyed this brother's preaching here tonight, and this will conclude the service for tonight. I want you to remember now, the service will sing, will start at 10 o'clock in the morning or earlier, if enough people get here prior to that time. Start singing, and there will be lunch outside if weather permitting, and of course, we'll have to have it inside if it's not. But let us all try to pray tonight, if it could be God's will, that He would give us a beautiful day tomorrow, at least a dry day that we could meet in comfort. I want to, while each one of us is still seated, there's a little few things I need to take care of. Elder Bradley has come a long ways to fill his appointment here tonight, and we feel the Lord has blessed him to deliver a needful message to this people. And we realize that Elder Bradley didn't come to preach for money. We also realize that the Bible teaches us that after the servants of God has fed unto us spiritual things, it is no great thing if they partake of our natural blessings. So I'm going to ask Brother Obain Helton, if you will, to stand up. Brother Edward Martin, Brother Dillard Helton, and Brother Gilmer Hughes is back at the back. People, look at these men, and in time before you leave, if you have anything the Lord has blessed you with that you'd like to help expense of this meeting, you can either give it to them or lay it on the table here, and they will take care of it, and I can assure you that it will go to a good need. And also, I know there's many people here tonight from many different parts of the country. We don't want anybody to go home that came here desiring to stay for the service tomorrow. I realize, I understand that the old Baptists have about filled up the Virginian Motel down in Stewart. I guess that's probably the biggest bunch of old Baptists they've ever had at one time, and I'm sure they appreciate your business. But the members of this church and friends would like to take care of as many as we can. And I want each and every one of you that's here tonight, that's came desiring to stay and don't have a place already arranged, to stand up. Don't be bashful. Don't tell me there's not somebody. Is there anybody that does not have a place already arranged to stay? All right, that'll take care of it. If you had stood up, I was going to show you some people that wanted you. But if you've already got it arranged, that'll take care of the situation. And we're going to ask you to stand. And I know it's going to be crowded, but we want to have a right hand of fellowship. To me, without this, you took away a great part of the service of God. I know that you want to come around and shake these brethren's hand. I'm going to ask these brothers to move these chairs out of the way. I'm going to ask Elder Bradley and all the other ministers that come back in the back to come and line up in front of the book board. I'm going to ask each and every one of you, if you can and will, and don't be bashful about it. If you are not a member of the Old Baptist, you may, to some degree, feel a little bit out of place, but I believe if you'll get into the groove of this thing and show forth the love that God has put in your heart, that you can go away not feeling that you're out of place. So we want each and every one of you, if you will, to come around. If you'll start here on this end and come around and shake hands and go back. Like I said, it's going to be crowded. It's going to take time. But we can work it out. What do your brother have? 161. Let us turn to number 161. Ask all the preachers to come and stand in front of the book.
Oh, Now in thy praise, eternal King, be all my thoughts employed. While on this precious truth I sit, this temple not destroyed. This temple not destroyed.
the storm.